I played both until the age of 18. I was part of like the London Broncos Academy system, went for their scholarship as well, which is like under 16s. And I guess it came to an age where I had to make a decision, whether it was league or union.
Welcome back to Knights HQ podcast, the official podcast of the NIB Newcastle Knights. I'm your host, Jay Nelson. With me as always, Matthew Croker.
Good to be back, JJ. We've got a good guest today.
Man, one of the greats.
One of my favourites. He's a really good lad. He's come to the club and just made a huge impact. He's our Pommy import, my man, Kai Pierce-Paul. How you going, Kai?
Yeah, clap him in. Great call.
How are you, my boy?
Yeah, no, I'm real good today. Feeling pretty fresh and yeah.
And officially, Knight 3-4-6.
Yes.
He made his debut in round one against the Raiders. How was it? And what did you think of the NRL, mate?
Yeah, it was a pretty mad feeling, especially sort of the atmosphere as well. To have like a near or even a sellout as your first match of NRL was pretty crazy. And having your mum and brother there in the crowd as well was just, you know, it was an unreal feeling, a bit sort of surreal. I remember running out of the tunnel and sort of going to the bench and just sort of looking around like, oh my God, this is just like, it was a lot of once, you know what I mean? But it was a crazy atmosphere, and it was sort of the perfect way to get a taster into how the sort of NRL is going to be and how it's going to be a night.
We'll talk about your mum and that coming over a little bit later, but before we get into things now, people might not know a whole heap about you. You come from England, you played for Wigan. So we're just going to do a little bit of a get to know you. Feel free to elaborate on these questions. We used to do it last year with a couple of our guests. So I'll start off, the last TV show you watched?
Last TV show I watched? Probably Family Guy.
Oh yeah.
It's fair enough. It's stable.
It's one of the ones there. It just ticks over and then late at night, it's Family Guy's the last thing I end up watching. So yeah, no, I like a bit of Family Guy's.
Good day. It's just brain numbing. You just leave it on.
Yeah. Background noise for me.
Favorite movie?
I Am Legend, Will Smith.
Really?
Nice one.
Favorite actor as well.
Zombie apocalypse type operator.
It's got a special place in my heart, that film. I don't know why.
Highlight of your career so far.
Highlight of my career, I guess, there's two sort of stages really.
Is it this podcast? Like, where do we aim up?
I was going to get onto that.
That's the second part.
Now, obviously, number one would probably be, you know, obviously becoming the Knight the other day, or signing for the Knights in general. That's sort of something where, as a kid, something I always wanted to achieve, and it happened. So that was pretty amazing. And secondly, it'd probably be over in England to be winning the grand final.
Yeah, again. Of course.
That was pretty big, and it was something that sort of, you know, after 4 years of playing for the club to go out like that was a pretty special thing for me.
Of course, mate. Of course.
What about off field, mate? Is there something that sticks out in your brain that's something you're really proud of or something you've achieved in your life? I know you're only a young bloke, so you've probably got a lot more time left to do that sort of stuff, but yeah.
That's a very good question. Off field, I'm actually not too sure. I'm gonna have to.
You've got time.
It'll be something family related, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely.
Whether that's maybe mum getting a promotion at a job, or a younger brother signing with the Saracens as well, rugby union. My older brother making his first team debut as well, when he was over in England, his professional debut. So there's loads of little things, but it'll be something family related.
Cause that's beautiful. Sort
of where I feel the proudest, it's family.
All right, what about this? Your go-to artist before you play, or like before you run out?
Ooh.
It'd have to be something grime, surely.
Yes. Oh, that's a very good question. It'd probably be...
I've got a good fun fact after this, after he answers.
I think we need some go-to grime artists for the people to listen out for, because we're getting something from, you know,
While you think on it, my man Kai is actually in a Stormzy video clip. Kid you not. It's not Shut Up, it's a different one. What one is it?
Wicked Skate Man 4.
That's it, yeah. You see Kai with his hoodie on, his big chubby head just poking his face around the corner. I'm not wrong.
Yeah. No
his,
way.
His boys know him. Yeah.
Go check that out.
Is that right?
It was a pretty
How long's the cameo for?
It was a good few minutes.
So it's like a second and then you're out.
Where Stormzy just used to go to, like, you know, like places in England, and just sort of rap and sing his songs, and then like you just have a whole
all the
gang
gangs around him doing it. Gotcha.
All the men them, I think.
Pretty much. There's a few good like professional photos as well. You can see him in the background. So I'll have to send them through or something.
Go to artists
would probably
you can pick a couple.
I was gonna say Stormzy, he's one. Old Stormzy, Graham Stormzy's pretty good. Lil Baby, US rapper, he's probably my favorite rapper anyway, so he'd be one of my go-tos. And I don't know, there's this one song I used to always listen to.
What's that one in the gym?
We can't talk about it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it'd be between them two. It'd be one of them sort of gram artists or like US rapper. Like.
Yeah. So. What about live music, mate? Do you get around a bit of that? Is there any festivals in England?
He's been in a Stormzy video. Yeah, well, so that's pretty.
Yeah.
That's probably my biggest career appearance.
Favorite sporting team outside of the NRL? Do you follow many other sports?
I do a little bit. I'm not really mad invested in any sport. Like, for example, I'm from England. Soccer's huge, but I'm not really. You know, I don't really watch it religiously. I know Pricey does. He loves his Man United.
Yeah, he's a Man U boy. Yeah, he's got me hooked on him as well.
Glory Hunter. it'd probably be like NBA. I like the Lakers. Yeah, it'd probably be them.
You're a bullshit.
Yeah. I like the way it looks.
Yeah.
It's a nice colour, nice aesthetics, you know what I mean?
And Dennis Rodman, he's like, you know, he's an old school player.
Yeah.
Just a tip of the cap.
Jay loves his NBA.
I do. Boston Celtics.
Heavy Celtics.
Big year, big things. Super Bowl or Olympic gold medal if you had the choice?
Oh, Super Bowl. 100%.
Yep.
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah. I know everyone watches the Olympics as well, but Super Bowl's huge.
Yep.
It's, you know, you got celebrities there, you got everything. The Super Bowl's literally got everything.
And there's a little bit of controversy around England's tilt in the Olympics, because then they turn into Great Britain, which is multiple countries.
Yeah.
And it's the only event that they do.
So what you're saying, we're cheating?
Well, look, us proud Australians, just one country, trying our best, you know what I mean?
25 million strong.
Trying to do what we can. And you guys like, hey, Ireland, everyone, come on in, let's try and get this done.
Wow. Well, last one, mate. Would you prefer to listen to an Aussie accent or an English accent?
Probably an Aussie accent, you know.
Can you tell the difference between like different Aussie accents?
No, I can tell the difference between, is it Bogan? When someone's more
I can tell
the difference between someone rougher. Probably from the coast, or someone who's, you know, like
in the country.
Sort of tell that, but I can't tell you if someone was from Sydney or someone was from Brisbane or something.
How many times did you been here if someone said like a full sentence and you just have no idea what they just said?
Like
too fast, all that sort of stuff.
It'd be the slang as well. It'd probably be more towards when I first came over. There was a few things and I was just like, true.
Who's the hardest to understand in the squad sometimes?
Probably, I don't know, but I think of the strongest accent. Probably like Adam Elliott is pretty strong, isn't it? I
feel like. Oh, yeah, Adzie, really? Yeah.
Sometimes he talks and I'm just a bit like,
Probably
like pronounces everything. I don't know how to explain it. He's proper like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
He doesn't mumble, like he says his words proper.
Yeah, he does say it proper. So it's not too hard to understand, I guess, but it's when I think of like who's got the strongest sort of,
I was gonna say Ads has a lot of velocity when he talks as well.
He does this.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
When he gets on a roll and he's storytelling, it can go.
Yeah.
I think we need to have Ads come on and do a Kai Pierce Paul impression now.
That'll be interesting.
Oh, that was good, mate. There we go. We got to know Kai a little bit.
Yeah, man. 100% family guy.
Yeah.
I Am Legend.
And he is a
Stormzy
and
video.
He's a family man too.
Yeah.
How was that when it was your younger, was that your younger brother?
My older brother.
That was your older brother and your mum surprised you for your debut. How was it?
Yeah, it was I can't really put it into words really. I got surprised here after training.
Yep.
I think it was after captain's run. Or no, the day before, sorry. Addy came up to me and was like, oh yeah, you got to sign something for the NRL so you can play. I'm like mid ping pong. I'm like, oh, I've got to do it now. He went, yeah, come on. So I'm in the strop, I'm walking down the corridor. I was beating Will as well. I was on a roll. I get to obviously his office and I'm like looking down at the floor. I'm not even looking up. I'm just like, how old does he want? And I look up, I'm like, and my mom's just there like smiling. I was like, oh my God. And it was just, it was a mad moment. Family means the world to me. It's one of my sort of things in life which I'll keep really close to me and I really value. So, you know, even for the Knights to fly them out and let that be, you know, that special occasion was, you know, really nice for me.
You have another brother that couldn't make it. Yeah. Was that because he's playing Union? Is that what you told
he's
me?
Yeah, he's mid-season with Rugby Union. So it's a bit of a tricky one. But yeah, I've got a younger brother who's bigger than me.
Bigger than you,
He's absolutely huge,
So the oldest brother, he's the smallest out of the lot of you.
He's the smallest. He's still 6'2".
Oh, that was good, mate. Well, speak us a bit through the debut. I know we touched on it a little bit earlier, but I mean, like, what were the emotions when you got told? It happened very quick, you know, round one from coming over here.
From being told, it sort of, it didn't feel real yet. You know, being told something and then actually being in the field is a whole different feeling. So it was only really when I was in that change room before where it sort of hit me.
Yep.
And I was sort of sat there and was like, you know, a bit nervous, like, yeah, you know, as you would be. And I was a bit like, Jesus, this is really about to happen. And then, you know, obviously I came off the bench second half. And once I was on it, it sort of felt pretty natural. I don't really get too nervous on field, sort of, you know, the build up. And then when you're on in your first involvement, you sort of forget about it. But yeah, no, it was an unreal debut. The atmosphere was amazing. You know, it was just a huge crowd. And yeah, it just couldn't have really been any better for me. Obviously, if a win would have been a lot better. But
yeah,
in terms of, you know, personally and my feeling and, you know, having my family there in the crowd just was amazing for me.
Look, we're going to go back talking about sort of your origins in England and stuff like that. But before we go there, I wanted to ask, like, you know, you come out on the second half, it's your first game in the NRL. You know, you get your first hit up or, you know, you get the ball for the first time. What's going through your head? Are you just trying to not drop it or, yeah, you know, just...
To be honest, yeah. Yeah. it's one of them ones there just... For me, a thing is sort of your first involvement, just make it a good one, and then yep, it will sort of feel quite natural and you'll sort of roll into it from there. So I didn't want to try to do anything too crazy or, you know, just carry the ball. You run hard, you can't yep, really go wrong. So that was sort of the main thing for me. But, you know, prior to that, I'd been tackling and stuff. So
you're already in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Unreal. So obviously you grew up in England. There are a lot of major sports in the UK, as you said before. Soccer's probably the biggest one. There's cricket. There's a whole bunch. Mm. Rugby league's kind of not the premier sport over where you're from. What sparked your interest in the game? Why did you go down that route?
Well, it was always rugby in general. I played rugby league and rugby union from, I don't know, maybe the age of six, seven or eight. I can't remember how young I was. But for me, it was my older brother. He started first. So he's 4 years older than me. And yep, he sort of like was like my sort of male role model in life.
Yep.
You know, my dad wasn't really in the picture, so it was always like I'd look up to my big brother Cam and he would look after us boys. You know, him and mum would look after us sometimes. And yeah, it was sort of, so I was sort of following him and I used to watch his games and really enjoy it and be like, oh, I want to be like Cam one day. Do you know what I mean? So that's what it was for me. And obviously rugby league's not very big down south at all. You got sort of, I think that's maybe four or five teams in our league. Mm. There's like one age group, I think, or something. It was like an open age almost, like for young kids. It was like, there was no under 12s, under 13s, you know, it was like...
It was just whoever. It
wasn't very big, you know, you wouldn't know you're playing each week. It was sort of like a five-team pool and it wasn't very organised. It wasn't, you know, it was a bit sort of you'd rock up in the park and just play sometimes.
Yep. So
it was... rugby league's not as big. Rugby union, those clubs, you know, every next row does a new club and, you know, there's obviously a lot bigger leagues and there's a lot more organised in rugby union as well. So I played both until the age of 18. I was part of, like, the London Broncos Academy system, went for their scholarship as well, which is, like, under 16s. And I guess it came to an age where I had to make a decision whether it was league or union, and I chose league. I think at this point Wigan had come in. I played against Wigan Academy and they'd come in and throw me an offer, and you know, I was scared at the time. Obviously I was 18, I just sort of hadn't really been away from home before for, you know, more than sort of 2 weeks on like a holiday or something. So the opportunity sort of arose to make the move to Wigan, and you know, mum was full behind it and said, yeah, just go for it, you know, you can't really go wrong. So you know, I took the leap for Wigan and sort of the rest was history. But it was league or union, and I chose league. I thought league suited me better.
Yeah.
A bit of a faster game, and you know, you can sort of, as a forward especially, you can sort of show off a bit more.
Did the interest from Wigan help you make that decision? Like, did it help you choose between union and league?
I guess so, yeah. I would say,
you know,
so,
because
yeah,
Wigan's a very,
yeah, it's a very
esteemed club, yeah, in the Super League, isn't
it? Yeah, it was, yeah. I guess I preferred league anyway. I think at the time I was obviously part of the academy and it was going pretty well, and our academy side was pretty strong as well, and it was, you know, I was feeling good playing there. So, but yeah, obviously when you got a team like Wigan in England, you know, such a high,
yeah, it's a high, you know, valued club,
yeah,
isn't it?
Huge
yeah,
history, and it's just, you know, it's a known team. So it was sort of, for me, it was a no brainer at the time. It was sort of a great opportunity for me, and it
yeah,
sort of
helped. And then you made your debut. Do we want to talk about that?
Because yeah, every guest, just so you know, every guest we have on this show, debut, they get pumped.
Mine was 44-4. It wasn't great.
Yeah, we won 100-0. Oh, debut. Oh.
Yeah, mate, it was a fair team, his verse. I was looking at the list before. Alex Wormsley, James Graham, Johnny Lomax.
It was a strong side. It was
Jack Wellsby.
It was actually, so we have like the Challenge Cup, obviously, which is like a separate competition in England. And
it's
it
like
runs
a comp in a comp.
Yeah, it runs in sort of during the season as well. It'd be like, you know, you'd play league game, then it'd be like Challenge Cup. So some team, people would have a week off for the teams that aren't still in it, kind of thing. So I think what our coach wanted to do was rest our sort of more... Well, our more starting players at the time and play a sort of a younger side. But Saints were like, no, we ain't doing that. It's the same. So I remember me and a few of the boys, I think debuted with like 6 or 7 other people. Like all the sort of like the young boys and like the, we used to call it Bin Juice, like the Bin Juice squad. Like,
So we're
all like just, we're making our debut buzzing. And I remember we sat in this cafe. And the team list drops and we're sat there like, oh my God. Scrolling down, we're like, bro, like, what is going on? It's like the full Saints squad. I'm seeing Alex Wormsy and now I'm just thinking, oh my God, what is going to happen here? And yeah, you know what? We went all right, to be fair, to start with anyway. It was a decent arm wrestle for a bit, but then, you know, experience takes over and they ended up pumping us in the end.
Because that same team ended up winning, what, 4 in a row, wasn't it?
I think it was 4, yeah.
St. Helens, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, they had Lockie Coote, where's Nagama?
Yeah, gotcha.
They had a stack side.
Yeah.
They ended up playing in that grand final in the end, which was eventually against. Was that against Wigan? Were they in 2020?
It was 2020.
And they won on the bell, which was one of the craziest finishes to a grand final you'll ever see. They go for a drop goal, hits the post, bounces up, and Jack Welsby puts it down
just before Bev could. And that was heartbreaking. I was up in the crowd somewhere looking on, and it was that was a pretty sad time. I think Jacko was playing in that game.
Jacko would have been.
That was heartbreaking for us, really. But, you know, 4 years later, we got one anyway.
Exactly.
We got there in the end.
Well, we can fast forward there, but we could talk about all the stuff in the middle. You played 61 games for Wigan.
Yeah.
Over 4 years and then finished with a grand final win. You were very young when you were playing. What's it like being a young forward coming through the ranks in the Super League? Because I know what it's like for myself personally, but what was it like for your experience?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously pretty scary. I feel like there's, in Super League, there's quite a few younger boys that managed to sort of make their way in. Sort of when injuries come in, they like to sort of bring through the talent of the club instead of, you know, trying to get people from elsewhere. So there's a few boys, for example, Pricey was the same year as me. When Pricey, his breakthrough year was same year as my year. So there's a few sort of young boys that were making their debut and sort of finding their feet in that year. But for me, I was quite lucky to be in quite an experienced team. On my edge, I think I had Tommy Lulawai was my halfback, and you know, Willie Iser was my center, and Zach Hardacre on the wing. You know, they sort of looked after me in a way. You know, Tommy was, I didn't even have to look after, he looked after me. You know, I'm meant to be chasing and, you know, checking the lead and getting.
He said,
forget about that. He said, if the lead runs at me, I've got him. You know, I had one role really at that time, so you know, Tommy looked after me, and those boys are, you know, they're crazy good, crazy guys as well. And obviously, it really helped out having players like that around me to sort of guide me in the right way, and a good squad around me as well.
So. Yeah. Did you get a chance to celebrate the grand final? It felt like you won, and then you know, a couple of weeks, and then you're Dixon Park having a coffee with Will, and we're doing the press conferences and all that sort of stuff. Like,
I know,
must have been a whirlwind time for you, mate.
Yeah, it was quite a lot at a single time. I think I sort of, after the grand final, it sort of became a bit real. I was leaving, obviously, as well, and I think I maybe had 26 tickets that game. So I had a lot of friends and family up, and we all went out after into like Manchester and had a good night out. And then, you know, then obviously the boys went off to Dublin, and we all sort of, you know, it was a good sort of couple of days / week of like fun. And then when it died down, and I was sat there like, oh my God, I'm literally leaving in like, I think it was maybe a week and a half from that point or something. And I think I went back down to London with my family and stuff for the majority of the time. And my friends came and surprised me in London. And it surprised me up north as well. Like, it was a really nice way to go. Do you know what I mean? I had a good sort of group of friends and family around me to send me off in the right way. But next minute I'm on a 24-hour flight, sipping cocktails at Pricey
in the business lounge.
You said that was a fair trip, that.
Oh, it was. Yeah, we were steaming.
Can you tell me a bit about the GF, lad? Because Catalan's, they had a lot riding on it. They had Sam Tompkins, Mitchell Pearce, like two greats of the game in their both own respects. Like Sam more in the Super League, Mitchell obviously more in the NRL. But there was a lot riding on it. And it was a low scoring affair. I just watched the highlights before, and you know, you guys took a penalty goal early, and then they did. Then you guys scored the only try of the game. Then you just took one more penalty goal towards the end. It would have been a lot of back and forth.
Were Catlins were the favourites, or were you guys the favourites?
I think you might have been
pretty 50-50.
I think we were sort of 12 games on the bounce win.
Yep.
We hadn't lost in quite a long time. So I think we were sore favourites, and Catlin haven't won it before.
Yeah, okay.
So it was sort of, will history repeat itself, or will it be broken by Catalan? So
Yeah,
it was, Catalans were a good side. You know, they were sort of one of the top four sides of that season. And so were we. So, and you know, in a grand final, the intensity is just a different level to what you're used to on a, you know, the time before we played Catalans, they were sort of unbeaten for a while, and we went over there. you know, which is a pretty hostile ground. And we ended up beating them 34-0, I think, which was like a bit of a shock. And I think that's when we started our sort of run to the end of the season, to the grand final. And then, you know, to face Catalans again, having gone to their place and, you know, embarrass them a little bit. And then, you know, all the things are sort of adding up. And it was Tompkins' last game.
Yeah, after Pearcey's all those
years,
Pearcey's
last game. There's a lot in it for everyone. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think they had sort of a lot more in it than us in terms of players they're losing and stuff. And, you know, people going out and putting them out in the right way kind of thing. So, yeah, it was a pretty mad feeling. I think it was at Man United Stadium.
Old Trafford. Is that Old Trafford?
Old Trafford, I think.
Your stadium.
My stadium, yeah.
I think it sold maybe 60-something thousand, 65,000, I think it was. So that was pretty surreal as well. It was a crazy atmosphere, and it was just a massive arm wrestle. It was just constantly forwards and backs and who's going to crack first kind of thing. And yeah, in the end, you know, we ended up, I think it was the second half as well, we ended up breaking through and getting the only try of the game. And
it was a decent try too. I watched it before. Oh, it was offload galore.
Yeah. It was a pretty off the cuff stand up kind of game. And it's kind of try, and we got the win in the end. We sort of held it out.
What's it like when you, because one of the great things they do in the Super League is when you guys play the grand final, you walk out side by side. What's that like? That just looks
that
so,
is pretty cool.
So sick.
Yeah, it sort of adds to that. You know, you're playing next to
the emotion
sort
of it.
Yeah, the emotion of it. You got your, you know, you're about to smash the person next to you in about 5 minutes. Time. You don't want to look at them. It's a bit awkward because some of them you know as well. Like, I might be a good friend or something. You don't want to look because then you don't want to smile because then you're out of the zone kind of things.
So do they do it every game or just the grand final?
They do it most games, yeah.
So have you ever walked next to someone that's like super intimidating and you don't want to know them to know that you're like a bit, I don't know about this.
You know what? There's this guy, you probably know Manu Mao.
Manu Mao, I was just about to say, come off the bench for Catalans, didn't he?
Yeah, he's
a scary dude.
Scary guy.
Yeah.
He used to play for Para over here.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what? When I was sort of one of my first few games, I think, when I played, he was at Hull FC for a couple of years in the Super League. And I remember coming off, I think I came off the bench this time as well. And I was opposite this Manu Mao guy. You know, before this, I'd sort of, you know, I've been pretty chill. I just sort of opposite this Manu Mao guy, and he's just staring at me, like he's looking at me, like pointing at me, going, "Yeah, give me the ball. I want him." I looked at Tommy. I was like, "What is this, bro? I don't want to do this anymore." So, yeah, I think that's actually one of the only times I've actually sort of been like, "What the hell is going on?" This guy is apparently some crazy dude as well. So I'm just like, "What the hell?" But yeah, no, he was a really nice dude. To be fair, off field, you know, he was a really nice guy. But he came off the bench for Catalans as well, and I think that might have been his last game for Catalan. Was he still there? I'm not too sure.
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been.
Maybe. Yeah, but no.
What about your debut for England? Tough game, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Was it 94?
It was 94-4 against Greece.
Yeah. It took us a while to get into it. Had to build the pressure and build the game, you know.
Tell us about like the esteem for getting to represent your country.
Yeah, that was crazy. Again, I had about 30 people there watching me as well. Yeah. And the game was actually in... wasn't in it was sort of a bit closer to London than it was the north, but I had a lot of family watching, and to make my England debut in such a great World Cup run as well was just amazing. It was one of those feelings again. It didn't feel real until I was there singing the national anthem. I was sort of on the field looking up and I saw my mum and I was like, oh my god, this is actually happening kind of thing. And yeah, obviously to win 96 whatever it was is always a good one. Yeah. We were going for 100 in the end. We got written off for the forward pass right at the end.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the boys were gutted. You know, weren't happy leaving there. But it was a mad feeling. It was something I'll remember forever, and you know, hopefully more to come, really.
Yeah, definitely.
So fast forward now to the NRL. Now, the listeners won't know, but obviously you guys know this. We did a thing where we added in our cultural heritage to our locker panels in the COE this year.
Yeah.
So everyone has like different flags and things of their cultural heritage. So, you know, just to have a bit more of a connection to that in their locker panel in the change rooms there. Now, round three against the Storm is multicultural round. Now, Kai particularly has a lot of flags on his locker panel. So, mate, explain to the people what your multicultural sort of heritage background is.
Yeah, so I'm English.
Yep.
I'm from two different islands in the Caribbean, so Antigua and St. Vincent.
Yep.
I'm Faroese, which is a few little islands by Denmark / Norway. They're called the Faroe Islands. My mum's dad was from there.
Yep.
And I'm French. My mum's mum is French, so
there you go.
A bit of that.
So how many flags are actually on your locker panel?
Five. The boys are sort of grilling me for it. Like, everyone's going around, you got one or two flags. And then they get to mine, we're like, what are you doing? And I was like, all right. listen, I got asked. I got asked where you're from.
Got 10 parents. Oh, mate, that's good. I was just going to ask quickly about the NRL. Like, what? How is that viewed back in England? Yeah, I mean, like, would you sit up and watch the NRL and stuff? I remember talking to Will Price, and he was saying, like, State of Origins, he would always have Wednesdays off school so that he could watch the... Was it similar for you?
I think he'd have days off school, not because he had days off school, but because his dad was, like, a super... He'd want to watch it all, but, NRL sort of deemed as, the biggest league, really. Yep. I know a lot of the boys, even at Caden, my brother's team at Saracens, a lot of the sort of rugby union boys will be watching NRL and stuff as well.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they've all got their fantasy teams and stuff. So my little brother was telling me the other day that they proper like NRL, and it's an entertaining league to watch. Yep. Obviously, so is Super League as well, but the NRL sort of, especially where there's players playing rugby union from all over the place, from like, these sort of countries, Tonga, Samoa, them kind of countries as well, they'll sort of know players playing for the NRL, from back home. So they sort of tap in and watch a lot of that. And yeah, obviously it's at awkward times.
Yeah,
it might be like sort of 7, 6, 9, or 7, 8 in the morning sometimes, but I'd always get up and watch it. You know, it's entertaining, and I guess for me it was something I always wanted to give a crack. So I was
Have you adopted him into the proud New South Welshman circle?
Oh, he's a blue.
He's a blue.
You're a blue.
I bleed blue.
That's our guy. That's our guy. Because you've got to get in there before the others get
was
in.
There,
before,
was there anyone you used to watch in the NRL that you sort of modelled your game after by?
I wouldn't say I modelled my game after, but
it's very hard because you're a very different body.
A bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. Very, very long. Just lanky and just, very hard to get hold of.
I'm not really sort of your average build for a sort of footy player. I'm a bit sort of an awkward, long thing.
Yeah.
There's the quote, fellas. Awkward, long thing.
I've been called a baby giraffe before by the commentators in Super League and stuff. So, like, I'm a bit all over the place. But, one person that I sort of grew up watching and really liked was Sonny Bill.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
I get told it all the time, Sonny Bill. But, I really just enjoyed watching him. I thought his style of play and even as a person off the field, he's just a real cool guy. So, someone I've always sort of, looked up to, and I wouldn't say I modeled my game off him.
There are a lot of similarities.
Everyone's got their own different roots, but obviously, he likes to offload, I like to offload, so that was like sort of, that's why the similarities got put on me, but I really enjoyed watching Sonny Bill.
Just got one more question before we take a quick break. You've come over here with your fellow countryman, Will Price. Now, we know Will, we've met Will, we've been around Will the last few months.
Oh, mate, I have been around Will. Doesn't leave my house. Fair dinkum.
How has it been good having someone like Will with you through that transition over here to the NRL? And can you give us a story of how you guys met initially and sort of how that relationship started? Because it was before you guys obviously came over here. Yeah.
So I guess it did help having someone else in the same position as me. For me, the transition wasn't too hard because I've been living away from home for sort of 4 years anyway. Yeah. And sort of towards the end of that sort of 4 years, there'd been times where I'd been away from home for maybe five, six months and hadn't been, to see my family, for example. They come out to watch my games and I'd see them after the match, but I hadn't actually been home in a very long time. So the transition wasn't too different for me. I saw my mum the other day and that was only about 3 months. So that was nothing compared to what I've done before in terms of when I was living up north. So I'll say it wasn't too hard for me, but I think for Pricey, it probably helped a bit as well, having someone else in the same boat, even at the airport, knowing Pricey had missed his flight or something. So, it probably helped to have someone there guiding him to the right plane and that sort of stuff. But you got to love Pricey. He's not an awkward bloke, is he? Everyone loves him. He settles in anywhere pretty well. So, he'd always be right in any situation you threw him in, to be honest. And in terms of meeting him, I think it was in our sort of similar debut year. I think we just sort of followed each other. We're both sort of young sort of stars at the time coming through. So it was through there. But then end of that season, our first year, we had England Knights, which was like our England second team kind of. Like, it's more like the younger boys, the young stars play a game instead of the older boys. And I met him on camp there. That's when I found out how loud he was. And I found out a lot about him then. He's just crazy. It'd be like, we have a tough session, we'd be on the coach, everyone's just, sort of sleeping, they'd be Pricey, like, rah, 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 rah. Everyone's turning around like, Pricey, please.
He's like that at our camp on Temu.
Trying to lift the energy, like, bro, we just train hard. Like, how have you got energy? That's what I want to know. But I guess at Tamworth, it's the same thing. He's one of them guys, if you're ever feeling down, you lift your energy, if the vibes ever off at training, he'd be the guy just to lift it back up again. Yeah, definitely. Crazy. So, he's a cool guy to have around.
Yeah, he's one of the greats, and he's... What's the word? He's one in the family already, you know.
He'll be coming up soon.
Yeah, 100%. All right, we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Knights HQ. Knights members, save up on walk-up prices at home games this season. Become a Knights member today. Croaks, what have they got to do?
We have our full access membership available from $185 a season. Or join us as a Flexi member and pick the games you want to go to.
We've also got some away supporters, Croaks, which are also as important as the people that can get to the home games. We've got away game packages along with our NRLW memberships, which are also on sale. Our girls are going for a three-peat, so that's a big one.
Head to knightshub.com.au/membership or call 1300 465 644 to play your part this season.
Hi, welcome back to Knights HQ podcast, the official podcast of the NIB Newcastle Knights. We're here with Kai Pierce-Paul. Mate, thanks so much for coming in. We've learned a lot about you. There's a lot of things that people may not have known and now they know.
Yeah.
Family man, family guy. What was the last one that we said?
Stormzy.
Bang. Remember Stormzy.
Thanks for coming on, my mate. And let's go win something this year, right?
Yeah, sweet. Really enjoyed it. Cheers, guys.
Welcome.
Appreciate you.
Look, guys, you can leave a review on any of the platforms that you get your podcast from. Also, follow the Knights on all the social media platforms at NRL Knights. Also, all of these episodes are up on YouTube. So, full episodes, full video episodes. So, give us a like, subscribe, hit those bells so you get notifications when we put up a new one. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you on the next one.